but we're much better than what we showed against them, and this is what we're going to show them tonight. No doubt in my head. Let's go, guys. Go.
Listening to the 90 Plus Podcast. Here's your hosts, Ben Righetti and Sebastian Pereira.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's Ben Righetti here from the 90 Plus Podcast, episode 34. As always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Sebastian Pereira. And boy, do we have a good one today. We've been promoting it all week on Twitter at 90 Plus Podcast. We are very excited to announce that Axel Schuster, the CEO of the Whitecaps, will be joining us in just a few moments here on the podcast. We're very excited. We just finished recording with him now. We're recording the intro afterwards. Went very well. You know, definitely some interesting nuggets you guys are definitely going to want to check out throughout the episode. So be sure to listen to it all. We enjoyed recording it. We hope you guys are going to enjoy listening to it. You know, it was a fun one, Sebastian.
It was great. And Axel's a wonderful guy, like just a wonderful person to talk to. But just the amount of insight he gave both Ben and I in this little chat we had was great. And yeah, as Ben said, there's so many nuggets in there for you guys to check out. So we hope you guys enjoy the episode. We were able to come up, and huge shout out to the Whitecaps communications team for letting us do this. It was Absolutely. A great talk. We really enjoyed it. So big shout out to them for letting us have Axel on the show. And yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy it. It was great. I'm honestly speechless after that. Ben said we were recording this intro after, and yeah, we're speechless. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah, no, it went pretty well. Hopefully you guys are going to enjoy it. We'll promote it for a little bit on Twitter as well at 90 Plus Podcast. From there, you know, the usual. I'm at Righetti Ben. He's at Sebastian P74. We had Axel Schuster on the show. You guys are going to love it. We had a lot of fun recording it, so may as well just jump right into it. Stay tuned right now. Our interview with Whitecaps CEO, Axel Schuster. Okay, our guest now needs no introduction. We've been promoting him all week. We're very excited for him to be here. CEO of the Vancouver Whitecaps is joining us on the 90 Plus Podcast, Axel Schuster. Vive danke, dass Sie sich un angeschlossen haben. I've been told that. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, exactly. Very good.
Thank you.
Welcome in Zoom 90 Plus Podcast, Axel.
Oh, that's excellent German, by the way.
You got excellent. I only got good.
Oh, there we go. My trip to Hamburg paid off. There we go.
how are you doing this evening, Axel? How's it going?
No, it's going good. Well, so a lot to do. It's off season is always very busy. We are trying to prepare us very well for the next season, and on the same side we're also trying on to change a few things on the business side to do better there, and to also be prepared hopefully for a season where we can go back to BC plays and having fans in the stands, and also this has to be sorted out, and there is a lot of things going on right now to find solutions and getting answers about that. So busy but good.
All right. Well, I guess there's no better place than just to sort of dive on in and start from the beginning. So this was just your first year with the club. So sort of going back to about a year ago around this sort of time, what interested you about the Whitecaps job, and what made you decide to come here and take the CEO position?
I think I'm a very curious person, and I worked in Europe, Germany, for almost 20 years, and I was always open to go abroad, to go out, to go into another country. It was the story of MLS. It was the development of MLS in the past years. It was the vision of 2026 with a home World Cup and the chance to grow the game in North America, and especially in Canada then. And so that was already the basis for my decision. And then to see an organization that is that has so much or invests so much into player development with the academies across the country. And there are so many kids playing with our badge. That fascinated me. And so this is another piece that convinced me to come here because I see a very good basis to develop this club, players, the game in Canada, helping to develop national team players, squad players for 26, and hopefully to be the driver and the supporter of Canadian soccer in the next 5 years.
It's obviously been a very challenging year for anybody in the world in numerous different ways. How has the pandemic kind of impacted both you personally and the way you worked at the club during the first year? I know that's a bit of a long-ended question, but what are some of the challenges you faced during the first year with the pandemic involved?
Yeah, personally, it's easy to tell because it's quite a funny story because I kept my wife and my daughter here in Germany and said, you better come over after we have done the preseason, we have done the transfer window, and we started into the season. And so they came Wednesday after our game in Galaxy. And on Saturday, we started with a lockdown. So they arrived in the country 3 days before lockdown. And so we were together in Vancouver the whole lockdown. And as we were going forward to Orlando, I sent them back home to Germany because otherwise they would stay in Vancouver. And we had no chance to discover Vancouver, to meet people, because we were always in the lockdown. So they went home, and exactly on the 1st of June, they left Vancouver again. And on the 2nd of December, I saw my wife and my daughter the next time. So that impacted me heavily. Not to see my wife and my daughter for 6 months was not an easy time. And my daughter just became three. So kids in that age develop a lot and change a lot. And so it was nearby another person as I met her the next time. For our work and for that, what we wanted to do and what have been our plans at the beginning of the year, I would say the biggest impact was that we were really clear that we wanted to make a first step in the development, and we decided to go for a lot of young players. We made a turnaround last winter, and we had the youngest team after that in the league. And the biggest problem for us in this season was that if you want to develop young talent, you need a lot of training. You need a lot of time on the pitch to develop those players. You are not developing players if they sit in condos and only have a Zoom chat with you. So we were very limited. We had a lot of weeks where we could not do a lot. I think that stopped us in the development, in our plans, in our setup, and impacted us. It impacted us also for the Orlando tournament, as we lost several players that didn't went to Orlando, and then we had injuries. I think we only came back for the last, I would say, 7 games, but at least I would say the last 15 games in Portland, where we had a little bit more stability. We were together with the whole group for a while, and we were able to work together every day on the pitch. But we always were really clear with that. We didn't want to use that as an excuse, because we still believe that it was possible to get 3 more points to go to the playoffs, and we wanted to go to the playoffs. But in general, we expected to be a little bit a few steps further with the young talent that we signed. We thought that we maybe would be able to make one step more with a lot of players that came abroad and were very young. At least we were able to build a basis. And in the last 7 games, we could see that if you have a little bit more time with those guys, that those guys can be players and will be players that will help the club in the future.
You mentioned a little about the players, and obviously it was tough times and stuff, but there was sort of partway through the season, around the time of the Orlando tournament, the club and Mark Panez did decide to sort of split ways. Are you able to just talk a little bit about that? Have you talked to Mark since? You know, and just sort of expand a little bit more on that whole situation.
Yeah, I have talked to him since. I think I just talked to him 2 weeks ago. Time flies. So I wanted to say 1 week ago, no, but I guess it was 2 weeks ago. We are still connecting time to time. It's always a nice talk, a nice chat at the phone that we have, because we never had problems. We worked well together. So there was nothing between us, and he's just writing a blog and wanted to get my opinion about that. And but in general, it impacted me a lot for sure, because I took over and the club asked me to take over the second part of the role. And there's also a lot of things to do. I think we have sorted out some of our problems on the spotting side, and we still want to do a next big step in this winter, but we also have to do a lot of steps on the business side, because the club has not done a good job in the past on both sides. So it loaded a little bit of more work on my table, or not only a little bit, a lot. And I have to deal with that since then. And that all in the middle of a pandemic where we're not going to an office. So since March, the office is closed and everybody is working from home. This is pause for me, because it helps me to connect with everybody on such platforms like this. So it is even easier to connect with everybody or with groups, although I have been in Orlando or Portland. So it doesn't change a lot, because I would anyway not go to an office in Vancouver. And on the other side, it makes a lot of things more complicated, because it's still not the same to meet on Zoom calls and to have group chats instead of being in the office to see everybody every day. And I'm a communicator, and I like the small communications in an office. So I like to have a short chat with whoever at the coffee machine. So it's the same what I did on the spotting side. So I loved my chats with Ari, the facility manager, or the cook in the kitchen, or our kit manager with his espresso machine, Marty. So I love these small talks, because you get a lot out of that, and you can also in such small talks you can find out things, and you can even solve things that doesn't work right now. And so everything has to be very well organized. Everything has to be very structured, and it costs you a lot of time. And so we are doing steps there as well. We are also there on that side, scouting for new players, players on the business side. So not on the pitch. We are looking for a few new roles, and we are looking for a few new leaders to find a new setup, to renew the club after 10 years being in MLS, to give everybody a push and to do a better job for our supporters and in connecting with our community.
I guess you're really lucky you made it to Vancouver, because there's so many selections and variety of coffee you can choose from here. You got Tim Hortons, you got Starbucks, you got Glenn's Coffee, you got so many. There's so many to choose from. Back to the talk though, you and Mark Dos Santos have developed a really strong relationship. And as you said, you guys have gone to Orlando and Portland together. How valuable is he to this club, and how much do you cherish that relationship with him?
So first of all, it is very important to have that close relationship, because he is one of the most important pieces in the club. The coach is always one of the most important pieces. So I'm not working on the pitch. I'm not training the players. I'm not building the first starting 11. So it is very important that we have a close relationship, and I feel what he's feeling, and I understand what he's thinking. To support him, because Mark Dos Santos is still a very young coach. He is also learning and developing himself, and that is only possible if I'm very close together with him, and I can give him my honest and open opinion. And that's the way how we are working. What kind of value does he give to the club? And I know we could find an easy answer and say he is 2 years in the club and we never qualified for the playoffs, so he has not done a good job. But I don't think that our evaluation is that easy. I'm not forgetting about our preseason, my first preseason here in the club. And when we went to San Diego and we had our preseason and we saw a team growing, we saw a team developing. And I don't forget our game against Columbus, where we beat Columbus in a tough preseason exhibition game. And Columbus is now in the final of the league. And then after that, we went to the Portland tournament and we won the Portland tournament. And the three teams in Portland have been Portland, the winner of the MLS Spec tournament, Minnesota, a semi-finalist in the league, and New England, another semi-finalist in the league. So we felt really good at that point. And yes, I know we were very disappointed after the loss against Kansas in the first game. We maybe overpaced, but it was not. It was at that point our worst game in the whole year 20, and we won at the Galaxy, and then we had the first lockdown. And as I described, this lockdown was not easy for us. Leonardo Vuso and Ranko Veselinovic have been in the country for 1 week. They never really trained with us. Janio Bickel was in the country for 2 weeks. So I think we have been at a very good starting point into the season, and then things break apart. We have also struggled with a few things, and we have not been able to prepare the team in the best way for the Orlando Spec tournament with all the problems we had. But then we went through a long depth, and this was of course, it was a hard period, and we lost games and we conceded a lot of goals and conceded shots. But at that point where we were able again to train constantly, and Mark Dos Santos was able to work with his players every week, and we were able to play constantly with the same system, with a core of our group, and he was able to develop things with them and to stabilize things. We had in the last 7 games 4 wins, 3 losses, and we only conceded 7 goals. So what is his value? He is able to develop things with a team. He is able to make a team better. As soon as we have a basis, so sorry, I'm struggling with my English. If you have a basis where you can do that, so if the season is so distracted and things are absolutely not plannable, then of maybe a coach with much more experience and much more experience also with such situations have an advantage. But I think experience is something you get, and we got a lot of experience. Mark Dos Santos got a lot of experience this year, so he will also grow as a coach. He will also he developed himself in this year, and the most important thing is not to make the same mistakes again. And for that reason, I see that Mark Dos Santos is the right person to develop the team to the next step next year.
So a big part of next year kind of took a lot of the focus of this year. So we do have to ask you straight up, because a lot of people are wondering, who is the number 10? Who is he? Where is he playing? Where are you looking for him? What can you tell us about that elusive number 10?
So I would say he's playing in Europe or in South America. So right now, because, on our list, we have now a short list, but we have options in both continents.
How short is that short list? Just a range. Just curious.
Five.
Five? Okay, we can work with five.
as this is such an important piece for us and such an important decision, it's not one you take in 1 week and you look at 10 videos and you say, oh, this guy is good, or you rely on opinions of different external people. The whole process is also a little bit tricky because you cannot see players playing live. We cannot go to stadiums right now. We cannot even meet the player live, so in person. So as this is a way, way important decision and a very important piece to make our team better, and we are open to invest a lot of money into that, we take our time to make it right. And that means a lot of people, a lot of employees are working on that. We are willing to evaluate everything of every single player. We make background checks, social media checks. We have performance guys that are checking speed and resilience and durability. So, of course, we have scouts that are looking at games. Our coaches are looking at the games on clips of the player after scouts already proved that he is good and fit to the profile. We have data analysts that compare all datas, and that is a long process because if somebody is coming from, as an example, Colombia, then data analysts are looking what does it mean, this data in Colombia. So if somebody is very good in dribblings in Colombia, so which comparable player before was good in dribblings in Colombia and came to our league, and could he remain being good in dribblings, or is that not copy paste because our league is maybe more physical and it is tougher to do a dribbling here against the defenders? So there's a lot of detailed work in that because as I said, we are open to spend a lot of money, so we should get that done right. And if we would not take the right decision, it is not easy to correct that. And for that reason, I ask everybody to have a little bit more of patience. But the player has not to be here today. First report right now, and who knows if that is the reality at end of January, 25th of January. Maybe things will be delayed with the virus. The season doesn't start before 5th of March. So it's a lot of time to get it right.
Staying on the road of the whole pandemic, as we talked about a little bit earlier, we've obviously known that the transfer market has changed quite a bit due to the pandemic. To what extent does the whole visa process impact signings, and how is that going to be a big factor going forward in, I guess, an ever-changing transfer market, because it probably won't ever be the same as it was before?
At the end, the transfer market is always a little bit the same because you're competing. If you want to sign very good players, you're competing with other clubs, and somehow other clubs always also have money to compete with players. There was a assumption that because of COVID, the transfer market would go down and clubs would not spend any longer that big money. I see some clubs struggling in some leagues, but the big leagues are not struggling and still investing a lot of money and paying a lot of money. But the transfer market for us is impacted for a lot of reasons because, of course, if you sign a player with family, we got the question. Players asked us the questions, where do we play next year? Do we play in Vancouver? Or has my family to stay in Vancouver and I play in Portland again? Does the league really start in March if it is a player who wants to go to Olympic tournament or European, to the Euro in next summer, to international tournaments that are coming up? Because international players, national team players, they need minutes, they need to play, otherwise they don't get selected. So, and of course, we ourselves have to look at the visa process and we have to find solutions for that as well. I brought it up the last time, and it was not my intention, but after that I saw in social media that there was a big search, which country could it be? And
is it Morocco? Just curious, is Morocco on one of the five or anything?
that some guys didn't believe that I told that can be true what I told you, and then they found out, oh yes, it is true, there are countries with that waiting time. So without saying which country it was, but it's a reality. So certain countries have a way long waiting time, and normally federal governments and embassies are not making big favors for anybody, because otherwise they crash the whole system. So that's another thing we have to sort out, because it doesn't help us really. It doesn't help us if we would find the perfect number 10 in Morocco, and then he is not here before the second half of the season. So, and he, I think no player wants to sign here if he knows that he has to wait more than 30 weeks before he can play here, because this is more than a half year and a half year of his career. So that are the points we are dealing with. The wires really changed. But I don't want to complain. At least there are two other Canadian clubs that are dealing with the same problems. And that is not only about the transfer market. It's also about our preparation. And I would say that concerns us at this point right much more, because we will find players. We will find players that get a work permission at the right time and will be here. But if we are not able to do a regular, normal preseason, then we are going into the same problem that I described before. And Mark Dos Santos, as our coach, he needs a period of 6 weeks to prepare the team. And if at the end, because of a quarantine, we have less weeks and our players cannot do anything, are sitting in condos, this is not very helpful. That would be a big disadvantage. And for that reason, the whole organization is working on solutions for that together with the other two Canadian teams. And this solution is also not clear. So it can end that we go straight to the US and start our full training preseason in the US. And that again has an impact on our transfers. If you tell the player, you don't have to bring your family, you will not see the family for the next 8 weeks. So it's, as you see, it's a very insecure and unsolved situation. And we as an organization, the only thing we can do is to prepare every single scenario, to prepare for a scenario that we have to stay in a quarantine, to prepare for a scenario that we don't have a quarantine, but we cannot go for a training camp, to prepare a training camp that we maybe never will do. So it's a lot of work, a lot of guys and women in our club have to do right now to prepare. And a lot of this work is for nothing. And everybody knows that. And so it's my job to keep everybody motivated, because it's very important to get the things done.
This is kind of like your first full off season as the Whitecap CEO and technical director. And obviously MLS has a lot of special rules that aren't very familiar with people in Europe, for example, the salary cap and stuff like that. And the expansion draft, which is right around the corner with Austin FC coming into the league. I'm just wondering, because I may be mistaken, but I don't know if anyone's asked you about the expansion draft. What can you tell us about that, and how, what you think about it overall? And given this Whitecaps team has a lot of depth, it's a tough list to compile, right? So what are kind of your thoughts going into the expansion draft?
Yeah, it was easy to understand the rules, and I read them all before, so I knew about the expansion draft, and I know the system, and I know why they are doing that, and it's okay. What I learned within this year is that there are so many tactics around that, because now you can do a deal with Austin before that they pick a player you want to have, and so because Austin can pick a non-protected player from another club and trade it directly to us, that happens last year with both. Nashville did that and Miami. You can do deals before clubs. If a club lose an unprotected player, the amount of cap money or GAM you are getting is not very high. So then it opens up maybe solutions to do a deal with the club, because they still can do a better deal with us at the last trade day on Sunday than they would get with Austin if they pick the player. So these are the things that I learned in this year, and then we are now, of course, we are participating in this game. In general, I think we are a team with a lot of depth, and but there are only five picks, so we can protect 12 players. We don't have to protect our homegrown players, and we are a club with a lot of homegrown players as well. So for that reason, I see that we are still in a good position, and I don't hope that we lose one of our players. And if it will happen, then we have to accept that. It's a part of the system of MLS, and we are in the same pot with a lot of other clubs. And I think if I had to bet today, I would say we will be able to deal with whatever happens next week. And if we lose a player, then at least we are protected next year. If two teams are coming in and there are 10 picks, and as we wanted to increase the quality of our team, then it is maybe even a more tricky situation next year. You have always to see the positive in things. But right now, if you ask me, I don't want to lose any of our players, because we still think we have a very good basis, and we only want to add some difference makers, some additional pieces. And I have really to say, it was really hard to go through the season. It was really hard to be away so much time, to live in Portland for more than 50 days together. It's not easy. And the group was outstanding, incredible. I could not imagine to go through that with another group. There was not one fight, not one bad moment, not one player who lost his mind. Everybody stayed positive. Everybody pushed everybody from early breakfast until evening. There was always also joy in the house, and if I lose a player on Sunday, it feels like I lose a family member at this point, and you never want to do that.
Sort of looking ahead to next season. A few weeks ago, Don Garber announced that the season was going to start on time as normal in early March. And then a few days ago, reports came out that a number of executives from other clubs disagreed and said that they didn't want that to happen. What are your thoughts on that, on starting the same sort of time? Would you prefer more time, or where do you kind of, what are your thoughts on that situation?
I think, I hope Don Garber, Dan Garber accepts my comment, because I know he wants us all to stay aligned. But I think as a Canadian club, and with all of that, what we went through last year, and the border that still remains closed at this point for still a while, it can only be better to start later, because it opens us the chance that the border will be open again, that travel is possible, that there is no quarantine, that teams can come in, and then we can play home games. And for us here in BC, with all the restrictions, it opens us hopefully also more chances for having fans in the stands. But I also know that Don Garber is to look at much bigger things, and he has to keep this league rolling and going. And there are a lot of contracts, a lot of contracts with TV and broadcast companies. We are going into negotiations for a new contract. It is also very important to fulfill your contracts, to be a reliable partner. And I think he will do the right thing. Anyway, I have to give a lot of credit to the league. I know there was a lot of skeptic and also criticism for the league. But at the end, our league and Don Garber, as the most important person in our league, has got it done. We went to Orlando, and beside of problems with two teams at the very first beginning that got infected outside of the bubble, there were nothing that that really concerned us. And it was we were all able to play our games in Orlando. After that, we managed to play a real schedule. And with the final in a few days, we went through all these playoffs. We saw good games, good competition. We could show our friends our quality. We showed up for our game, for a game that still develops in North America. And so I didn't saw a lot of discussions. I didn't saw a lot of negativity. I didn't saw a lot of clubs complaining. We were all way aligned. We although everybody has his own interest, we put the general interest of the league above that. There was a decision about point per games, and of course it was not in favor for everybody, but it was the best solution. There was no other. So I think Van Gaber and the league has done an outstanding job and kept all the group together and everybody aligned to get the best result possible. And that was the best result possible, because I never have heard another better solution for this year.
It was back on November 30th that we last saw you talk to the media. Just wondering if you have any updates on the certain contract negotiations with players like Freddie Montero, Andy Rose, and maybe Thomas Hassell as well, because the goalkeeper situation is definitely an interesting one. Just wondering about that.
Unfortunately, I think this is 1 week too early, because I see us having some updates in the next week as we are closing things right now. I know that that things are much more open and much more openly discussed in North America. That's a thing that is also absolutely normal for the other big leagues. I'm coming still out of a traditional market where you keep everything secret and behind doors until the moment you have really finalized things. So we are finalizing things, so that's what I can say here, but we are not ready to announce, because as long as not everything is signed and done, it is not sure that it happens, and it is always better to first get the things done and then to go out and to announce and to work then with that. And for all your questions, I can say there is no update, because I said the last time we are in negotiations. We are very open and clear in the communications with the agents and the players, and we are all working on the same thing, on a solution, and the solutions are coming.
Okay. So when you mentioned before, you've worked in markets over in Germany and elsewhere, where it's kind of very transparent. When you first arrived at the club about this time last year, in one of your first interviews, you said that you wanted to sort of make this club and sort of turn it and run it in a sort of similar structure and base it off a similar model than what we see over in a lot of European sides. Can you sort of talk about, how you've done that, if you're on track, your just sort of thoughts on that comment from about a year ago to where the club is now and then where you see it heading in the next couple of years?
Yeah, this is on the sporting side. I think we are heading into the right direction, and then we made a few changes in our developing system in our academies. We want to create a real pipeline to have a clear first kick to first team pathway to play and train with all teams in the same philosophy. And for that reason, it was important to install Wenny as the director of methodology, so that all coaches get improved and teach by Wenny to do the things in the same way in the culture of our club. On the business side, and I think that's an important piece, and I had already some Zoom calls with a few supporter groups. we want to engage the fans much more with the club. We want to connect with them much more. We want to build platforms for that. We created a membership forum, and fans should have a say. And we want to hear not only their opinion, we also want them to help us to decide about certain things that are important for our supporters. That's a way European culture, especially in Germany, the supporters are the owner. So we want to treat our supporters like owners. And I only give a short example, and I can do that here as well, that I gave to all our supporters. If you go into the next season and we start with our first home game and we maybe have restrictions and we can only get 20% of fans into the stands, or let us speak it as easier, the state would allow us to have 3,000 people in BC Blaze. So how should we do that? So I don't have a solution by now, but this is a thing I would like to discuss with supporters, and I would even like the supporters to decide with us together about that, or to have the final say about that. Who are the 3,000 people? How do we divide the tickets? Who is not in? Because that's a much more important question. And I don't want to take such decisions by my own. I don't want to do that behind closed doors and then to take a decision that nobody understands. I want our supporters to participate in the process and to have a say and to participate in the decision. And then if we take a decision, then everybody knows why it happens and why we took it like that, and everybody was at the table. And of course, there are always guys that will disagree with the decision, but at least they know why the decision was made in that way.
You kind of touched on it right there, but what was it like watching a game at BC Place with fans versus without fans? You got to experience both sides of it. What was that whole experience like?
Without fans is weird. So no, it's I don't even want to try to compare something like that. So I was so fascinated from our first game. We had this TIFO. We arrived with the bus. I made videos in the bus, and I said, "Oh my God, this is crazy." So, and then the atmosphere in the stadium, and the stadium pushed us in the game because they saw that it was necessary to push us. And I was deeply impressed. And after the game, I was together with Gianni Obikel, who played in the Netherlands and in Bulgaria. And he said, "I have never seen something like that." So I don't want to try to compare, because the other thing is only weird. And it is something I don't want to see once again in my life. I can tell you that I was at the first moment totally against fan noise from the loudspeakers. But a game without fan noise from the loudspeakers is even worse, because Then it looks like an exhibition game somewhere, and if you hear every noise and everything that is spoken, that is not real. That is something you only see in exhibition games. So with the fan noise, at least it's for your ears. It sounds like a normal stadium, as a normal game, but no, nothing comparable to a real world. And I think we suffered a lot because to play 19 games on the road of 23 and only having one game with fans in the stands at the end in a season, that's nothing that is an advantage. We thought before the season our fans can be an advantage, and the first game they work outstanding. Our pitch can be an advantage, because obviously he's not top, but it can be our advantage because it's our pitch and we know him better than everybody else. And at the end, nothing worked out. So nothing of that worked out. So I always come back to the point, we missed the playoffs by 3 points. So there were a lot of possibilities how we could get three more points. And if we would play all our games in BC Place, I'm pretty sure that we would have the 3 points more at the end. But again, no excuses. I still remember a few games where we could get still the points, and the easiest one at least was the game against San Jose in Orlando, because against San Jose, a tie would be enough, because that would be 3 points, one more for us and two less for them. And we were up 3-1 in the second half, and we didn't brought it home. And that was a classical game where you could see how important player development is, because we conceded the last goal. And now we can go back and say, this is the goal that decided about playoffs or not. We conceded the last goal, the 4-3, in the way last minute. And Theo Bear and Pat Metcalf were fighting for the same ball, where only one should fight for the ball and the other one should secure the situation. And then Pat tried to stop the midfielder that was going through our midfield, and he tried to make a foul to concede the yellow card to stop the action. And because he's lacking of experience in such situations, he missed it, and then out of that it's one pass, one goal. And after that we were evaluating and looking at the game, and we thought, why this happened? And then we looked at that, and Pat Metcalf didn't play any competition games since 2 years. And it shows another problem, and another problem we are working on. This young, talented Canadian players we have needs more games on a certain platform, in a competition where they get stressed and where they make these experiences and become better. And we had to do all of that in real time and real life time in MLS this year. So there's a lot of things we can do better. We have to improve as an organization. A lot of things that will help us to be a better team in the future. And as I said in my very first press conference, maybe you remember, I'm not Harry Potter. Don't expect magical things. We want to do it step by step with sustainability. And that's the most important thing. We want to reach a step, and we don't want to fall back from that step. And if you ask me today, and I ask you, are you afraid that we play next year a season worse than this? I say no. So the season we played this year is our starting position in next year. So it means we have to do better still. And if we do better, we are in the playoffs. So it's as that is our target, and that should always be our target, to do better than the last season. I see a very good chance that we are going into the right direction, and we can give you all more joy next year.
We appreciate that. Just two more questions as we start to get a little bit short on time here. So you kind of touched on fans at BC Place. It kind of makes or breaks the experience. It elevates the players' games. And this has sort of been a little bit of a storyline over the last year or two. And it might be a question maybe better for the owners. But are there plans long-term to stay at BC Place for the Whitecaps? I know that there's been talks of a soccer-specific stadium somewhere in the area. I'm not sure if this is maybe your field or maybe more the owners, but throwing it out there, has there been any talks or discussions about staying at BC Place for the long term?
I would say, first, I'm very happy that we are in BC Place, because I see still restrictions for next year. And to have a stadium with, I think 56,000 places. So to have a stadium with 56,000 places, if it at the end is 20% capacity, we have a big advantage to those teams that have a 20,000 seater right now. So for this period, BC Place could be a big advantage for us and for you and for the supporters, because we can open the upper bowl. And if you have only 20%, it's 20% of 5,600. And I don't say that 20% is a real number. It could also be 40%. Whatever it is, we always can go from 56,000. And that's the good thing in our club. The permission to think in every single direction. And so it is not the one or the other. It is not like we are making today commitment for a long term in BC Place. We are looking at every single option and solution, but of course it has to be the right time, the right moment. It has to be the right location. And if you, as long as you're not finding a better solution, I think we should try to work on BC Place and on our cooperation with BC Place to do and to give a better stadium experience and to better the situation in the stadium. I heard about the beer price problem, so it should be something we should look at to find solutions for that.
Is that just the German in you, or is that so?
No, correct. Beer is the most important thing in the stadium. So we have to work on that. You have now a German at the top at the club. So believe me, beer price is very important. I was at a membership meetings in Germany, and I said membership meetings are supporter meetings. I was at membership meetings with 10,000 members of Schalke 04, where they discussed the beer price. So believe me, it's a very important thing, the beer price. So as long as we have not a better solution, and it should be not only a better, it should be a huge step forward. It should be something way special, a new solution. As long as we have not that, we should do everything to do the best together with BC Players to increase the quality for supporters, for the team, for the atmosphere, for our sponsors in BC Place. And I see a lot of space where we can grow. And that's another thing where I really need the membership forum, the supporters forum, to interact with you and to hear and listen what are your needs. I heard a lot already, a few of that things, a few comments and recommendations. And I think as the game day is the most important day in every week for a club, and we are all doing that for our supporters, because as we now see, a game without supporters is really not something we really like, and it's not really something you really want to have. So we should find out what is really important for you, and then we should do better. And that's always the aim we should have, and that's where I'm asking for and where I'm pushing for.
All right. Well, I do think we are out of time. So, Axel, once again, vielen Dank, Darcy Sick, und Anschlossen Heiben.
Better.
Yeah, better. We'll work on it. Maybe next year we'll try it again, and I'll have improved a little bit.
No need for that. I think that was already an outstanding try to speak German with you.
And
I have not seen so much doing better without speaking German. So that was a very good one.
Thank you. I'll tell my mom, she'll be happy with that.
I will tell her.
Axel, we wish you the best in this Christmas, this new year. We hope you have a wonderful time with your family. It's great that you're back with your family and all that. So we wish you the best of luck. Thanks so much for coming on the 90 Plus podcast. It was a great talk. So best of luck this Christmas, this off season, and most of all, stay safe.
Yeah. Sebastian, Ben, the same for you and for all the guys that are listening to you and women that are listening to you. So I wish everybody some safe and nice days with their family. And then we hopefully move forward into a new year that is better and safer and more normal than last have been.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. We hope to see you at BC Place soon with 20,000 fans there with us. So,
and lots of beer.
Lots of beer. Again, we thank you for joining us on the 90 Plus podcast. Great chat. And again, yeah, hope you just stay safe and have a happy holiday season.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Axel.
Thank you.